Measure Up Podcast, Episode 33, Pumping KPIs for the Balanced Scorecard. G'day and welcome, it's Stacey Barr here, Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. I believe performance measurement is the foundation for an organisation to be truly excellent at what it exists to do, and my passion is to make it easy and fun for you to do performance measurement meaningfully and engagingly. In this episode of the Measure Up podcast, I interviewed a very passionate strategy professional, Jerry Stiegel, from the local government organisation Douglas County. I spoke to him about how he has integrated PUMP into the Balanced Scorecard Institute's 9 steps methodology to make the performance measures step a lot easier. Jerry's actually the first person I know of to do this, to formally integrate both methodologies. Some people mistakenly believe that the Balanced Scorecard is a performance measurement methodology, but quite frankly, it isn't. The Balanced Scorecard's strength is the robust and rigorous way that it helps you design a very strong strategy to ensure it gets measured and that it gets executed as well. But it's quite light on in the area of exactly how you go about selecting the most meaningful performance measures for your strategy, and how you implement those measures so that they're engagingly reported and validly interpreted. Now, for Jerry's efforts, and of course the efforts of his colleagues, the Balanced Scorecard Institute recently awarded Douglas County the Award for Excellence. So let's get straight into the interview now, and you can meet Jerry Stiegel.
I am here with Jerry Stiegel, Director of Organisation Development, Strategy and Policy with Douglas County in the lovely Colorado, USA, and I actually wanted to interview Jerry for a while now because he's one of the few people I know who have deliberately integrated PUMP with the Balanced Scorecard, and combining these two models is something that I know a lot of people are interested in doing. But it's particularly timely right now to talk with Jerry because Douglas County are currently celebrating their win of the Balanced Scorecard Institute's Award for Excellence. So as you can imagine, he'll have some fantastic insights to share with us about good strategy design and measurement. Jerry brings 30 years of experience in organisational development and training and development to this particular role he has at Douglas County. His primary areas of focus include things like behavioural science, leadership and team development, and obviously strategic planning and the Balanced Scorecard. Also communication and conflict resolution, assessment, and group and team facilitation and team performance. Now, his professional experience includes both the supply side and the consumer side in both the private and public sector, as well as international experience working in various cultures, particularly in Asia. And Jerry, I don't think I knew that about you before we talked about your background. Jerry's work with Douglas County began in March 2002. In his role as Director of Organisation Development, Strategy and Policy, he's responsible for leadership and management development, employee development, organisation effectiveness and assessment, and strategic planning and the Balanced Scorecard. Now, incidentally, he is also President and CEO of the Stiegel Group, LLC, which is an organisation development and strategy consulting organisation, of course. So you can see very easily where Jerry's expertise lies. Now, Jerry, before we do jump in and start talking about how your strategy and performance measurement approach has led to such an exciting success, is there anything you would like to add to my introduction?
No, I think you actually gave me a lot more than I deserved. But by the same token, I probably should, in hearing this again, I should shorten that title. It's way too long. It's way too long for anyone. But no, you did a very nice, generous job on just giving my background. I think that the thing that I'm probably very proud of is that organization development background that I think has led to a lot of success here with Balanced Scorecard and your performance measure work.
Yeah,
I think that combination was helpful.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, Jerry. I think you've to these sorts of change processes in organizations, we really have to bring a very strong understanding of people and how these sorts of things affect people. It's a very important ingredient. Now, Jerry, when I like to interview people like you about your performance measurement experiences, one of the questions I like to kick off with is what your trigger has been that got you into the Pump Blueprint program, because indeed you've done that program. You did the online Pump Performance Measure Blueprint program and also came to the workshop that we had in San Francisco, I think, almost a couple of years ago now. So what was your trigger to learn Pump?
Well, truly it was the realization of how much I did not know about performance measurement. I mean, if I looked at all the components that go together to put together, let's say, a strategy, balance scorecard, whatever it is, you know, the area around performance measurement is so critical, yet I was unable to feel like I could get a thorough grasp on it, you know, with my work on my own. And in a general search, I believe, now this has been two or three years ago, but in a general search, I discovered Stacy Barr. And when I started looking at your work, and some of the examples that you give and some of the things, particularly your 202 tips, I think, or your tips document, you know, I said, this has to be the person that knows performance measurement. So that led me to contact you to get your self-study online course and then to attend your session in November 2010 in San Francisco.
Tremendous. So you didn't just go along and do the learning. You've done an amazing job of putting into practice not only your learning of Pump, but obviously also Balanced Scorecard. So as far as Pump's concerned, though, where did you first start applying Pump at Douglas County?
We actually started our county level scorecard, and we have established about a dozen objective owners. As you know, a part of a component of the Step Balance Scorecard are your strategic objectives that go to a strategy map. And so we have objective owners, and I worked with those objective owners to work through the performance measure design to develop measures for our county level scorecard, and then that followed along in at the department level. So all departments have been introduced to it as well.
Wow, so very thorough, and that's it's a good example of starting from the top and working down. Not a lot of people are in a position to be able to do that, but where you can, it does make a lot of sense, don't you think, Jerry? To start at the strategic level first.
I think it does. Particularly when you hit something earlier about change and learning and all that, they all get wrapped in together. And you know how fearful people are on performance measurement in general. And to have them participate in designing them takes a fair amount of that fear away. Increases the flip side of that is to increase ownership, of course.
Indeed.
And we could. I think it can be done, at a department, but ideally it's done top to bottom in that order.
Absolutely. You do get the best results that way and the fastest implementation. But obviously one of the challenges that people have is how do they get their leadership team engaged to want to do that, to want to start with that, executive leadership team first. So for you, Jerry, how did you approach Douglas County's leaders with that idea of Pump, getting them warmed up to using it as part of the balanced scorecard implementation?
Well, I don't want to sound pompous by any stretch of the imagination, nor do I want to kind of give myself more credit than I deserve at all, but I think maybe my time with the county, let's say the reputation I have is to be a straight-up guy and, to help people and to do this, so that all ties to a commitment I made to a very, very large group of people as we started this thing. Earlier than January the 14th, but officially January the 14th, 2010, when we kicked it off, I made a commitment that I would do my best to stay ahead of everyone of them in the learning curve and not lead them down the wrong path. And so far, when I say not lead down the wrong path, some egregious error, so far we've been able to keep that commitment. And I think people trusted that I would do the homework. I would try to find the best process, model, solution, whatever it is, present it in a way that they could get it. which is part of my background in taking models or constructs and helping people understand what on the surface could be a complicated construct or model to kind of simplify it.
You can't do much without trust, can you? That's such an interesting thing that you've said.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it, Stacy, because, you know, I've been here 10 years, 25 in the private sector, 10 in public. I've been here 10 years, so you do establish a bit of a reputation, but evidently it worked because they were willing to come along. For the most part, everyone was willing to come along, which was the testament to me that they weren't fighting it tooth and nail.
Yeah, that's tremendous. You also mentioned about staying ahead of them on the learning curve and really looking at what are the models that are going to work for you. So you've obviously combined at least two models with this balance scorecard and PUMP. So I'm really curious about how did you blend the PUMP techniques with the balance scorecard and if you indeed had to face this at all, particularly that conflict between the balanced scorecard strategy map and the PUMP results map, which quite a few people sort of look at both of them and think, oh, are they the same thing? Which one should I be using? Should I be using both or do I have to pick? So tell us a bit more about how you blended PUMP with balanced scorecard, Jerry.
All right. Well, the key thing was honing in, as you and I actually discussed over time, is honing into the area of performance measurement in the scorecard framework. So if you look at a strategic objective, strategy map, and then your performance measures, honing in on that area, the combination between PUMP and balanced scorecard was great. I mean, to me, it just fits so well. The one piece that I saw on the scorecard, the balanced scorecard material, that I think was helpful to me to get the general gestalt or gist of what it was the logic model, the input, process, output, outcome. But that still didn't help me understand the design of performance measures, and I'll quote you again, measure what matters, and that's, I probably have worn that one out around here, but by the same token, that's what really turned the corner for us. So I really have taken the combination of trying to understand the use of the logic model to help for lead measures and lag in combination, but using your process to design them and to determine which ones were viable. I mean, the thing that I found was the one piece of criteria that fell off the planet, if you will, and you can see it in certain scorecards if they deviated from your process, was feasibility. Strength was never an issue. They could come up with a measure that was very strongly connected to an objective or to the result. However, and I'll get to your strategy map question here in a second. However, feasibility in some cases was not entertained, and I can see the result of it. Some of the measures that were developed in certain scorecards were so unwieldy to use or to collect data on that they became, you know, really not very significant or useful to us. So when you think of combining I see the strategy map and the results map is sort of integrated in a way rather than competing or in conflict, because your results map are strategic results. They are result-oriented. On a strategy map, that's a strategic objective defined as a continuous improvement activity that is written from a strategic result. So it sort of crystallizes it with a format of a verb and a statement. So when I see your results map and it's connected with the circles from the inner circles and then the circles that come out to the outside, you know, I'm looking at that as a strategic outcome and result map versus the strategy map, which is our continuous improvement that says this is the way we're going to see those results further. So the way we didn't necessarily create the results map, because I'll add another piece, we have blended at least two models. It's in effect three when we include policy governance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So yeah. I'm going to stop because that's a lot of information. I'll stop.
let me just recap a little bit there. I think, having been through balanced scorecard certification, the certification program myself, I really agree with your comment about where the PUMP measure design technique fits into the Balanced Scorecard Institute's 9-step methodology. So step 5 is where they talk about measurement. And mm-hmm. I do believe that the measure design technique fits beautifully in there. And I've never been able to find a methodology that could take you to that level of detailed, deliberate thinking to come up with what the measures are. It's usually just a little bit of a brainstorming session or what are other people measuring, but this is a lot more deliberate. So I agree that's the perfect place to use it. Something I was going to comment on regarding results mapping and strategy mapping is that one thing I did find with strategy mapping is unless you do those strategic objective descriptions where you flesh out a lot more detail for each of the bubbles in the strategy map, you can end up still with something very weaselly and vague and very hard to measure. So I use that results-oriented language and that thinking behind the results map to get rid of weasel words, to get very focused on outcome-type language or impact-type language. I use that at the description level for each of the strategic objectives. So I don't know if you've got any comments about that, Jerry.
Well, I think it's right on. I mean, I think that's exactly how those two come together. When I think of the structure of that objective and I think about if I just took the pieces separately, if I say what's on Stacy's results map and that those are strategic results, what comes after that process in the balanced scorecard framework is a strategic objective that relates to that result. So I think the fit is beautiful. Mm. I do believe I agree with you entirely, and you have a question later on, I think, that'll talk about documentation, measure design, or your measures, but you hit it. If you do not write similarly about your objectives, you will not have anything better than you started with. So objectives need a narrative that describes what's in them and what isn't, in destination-type language, as you indicated. So I think that's right on the money.
So when you did do the measure designs, Jerry, how did you go about doing it? And are you happy to talk about one or two measures that you did come up with?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. Okay. Well, we used POMP, your five-step process exclusively. We had groups. Let me just, if you're asking about describing that process, mm-hmm. we had groups. Generally, let's go to the county level scorecard. That would include all objective owners, not just the one who owned the objective. I wanted everyone there when we developed these measures through these objectives for our tier one. We call it our county level. Mm-hmm. In the department, that included the key people, the department director, and generally their management team plus one or two others, depending on how it's configured. And that's how we proceeded to implement this throughout the rest of the organization. I worked with a department at a time. And we chose to do this in a way where I could get 12 scorecards sort of about the same place at the same time, keeping them there, which is let's go through the first part, strategic objectives, then for the departments we get the strategy map done, now let's move to measures and those kind of things. So we could end up with a fairly consistent, I'll say project plan, where we could get 12 scorecards up and running fairly easily.
Wow.
I shouldn't even say fairly easily, should I?
Easy versus simple, maybe that's the difference.
Yeah. Well, when I'm looking back over 2 years, it was fairly easy. It certainly isn't, certainly what may not be seen. No, and I think that's a point I'd like to make, is that, unless people are truly dedicated, and there's a commitment at the top to do this, this is not something you take lightly. It's something that really helps your organization, but relates to a great deal of change in your organization. It needs to be managed effectively.
Yes.
A couple of measures you'd ask about. I just sent one, but the one that I've talked to you about a little bit was one that came out of our engineering department scorecard, and I remember almost the exact moment. I could probably go back and look at my calendar for the day that occurred in the conference room next to me. It was an epiphany when they realized, and we asked the questions, through the five-step process, and it's the one that we have in their scorecard, response to critical infrastructure requests, that I see as a lead measure to transportation safety, which is one component of our strategic result mm-hmm. for that goal. I'll remind you of something that I know you've talked to so many people since then that you may have forgotten, but when you read our strategic results, I mentioned this to our board during our award presentation, I mentioned your name, so I want you to have a copy of that. I thank you for all your help. Oh, of course, for all your help. You were huge in that, Stacy. But I said, you used the term multi-barreled.
I did.
And I'll never forget. You did. I'll never forget it. And when you saw those results, you realized the daunting task we had.
Well, I do remember that very clearly, actually. And incidentally, it's not a challenge that just Douglas County faces, that multi-barreled thing. It's endemic everywhere.
Well, we're trying to get all – what do we try to do? Get everything in one or two sentences, right?
Yeah, and end up having five or six results in one sentence, which can lead to dozens of measures for one sentence, yeah.
Oh, it's true. I mean, it's true. But we had what we had to work with, and, you know, it's coming along. It's certainly not a perfect system, but we have learned. I think one thing that if I could mention, we'll move to the other questions, and I started out with this objective, not to implement the balanced scorecard. I started out with this objective to improve our strategic management capabilities in this organization. That was my objective, not implement the balanced scorecard. The balanced scorecard was an initiative to drive that objective.
Of course, that makes plenty of sense. And it's so easy sometimes to get caught up in the methodology or the thing that you are doing and forgetting about that end that you're aiming for, forgetting about that change, that difference, that impact you're trying to make.
Yep. The second measure I'll mention, written checks from our finance department. I love this one. I love this measure because it is to do written checks for us, for our vendors and others, is extremely costly from a labor standpoint. When you take government, as we have in this country and other parts of the world, and we are reducing staff, you don't have enough staff to process this stuff in a labor-intensive way. And so the measure that I sent you that I actually just pumped out a quick score real quickly to send you shows what has happened over the years with the written check. So by offering the automatic check sort of deposit to vendors, all that stuff just happens behind the scenes. So we invest in technology. It lowers our labor costs. And we can see the effect of it in this chart.
Absolutely. And, of course, those listening to the podcast will not be able to see that chart, but you can see it. No, it's fine. It's easy enough to imagine. I mean, it's sort of going up and down over time, and then over the last couple of quarters you can see that it's significantly dropped down, which has put it into sort of the green area of your chart, which is talking about where you want it to be, whereas before it had been up in the sort of the yellow-red part of the chart, which is not where you wanted it to be.
Right, and if you'll notice, and I'll say this for the listening audience, but we set thresholds for these measures, and in this case we use a two-threshold type measure, a red flag, and the goal, is negative 10% on a quarterly measure. That means we are destined to reduce written checks. We are destined to reduce written checks by 40% a year.
That's a lot, isn't it? It's good. Good, though.
Very good. Very good, yes.
I like that it's a simple measure, but it's also very important because you know the impact that it has in a cost perspective and labor time. And it's already a measure that's been implemented and already a measure that has driven significant change and improvement. That's what measurement's about. It's about making that improvement at the end. So it's a really, really nice, elegant example of how you don't need really complex scores and indexes and highly sophisticated measures to have very fundamental improvements in performance.
Thank you. I like that one.
Now, as you know, Jerry, and as other pump users who are listening know, once measures have been designed, buy-in and engagement's a really important part of that. And what we do in the pump methodology is have a measure gallery or a series of measure galleries where those measures are presented to people, not in a presentation or seminar-style format, but sort of up around the wall, and people are invited to come and give feedback. Now, is that a technique that you used, Jerry, with Douglas County?
We did use, not in a organization-wide sense. We used it with our county level, with our departments and our objective owners. I know that some departments have actually done that on their own. But we have not officially set up how you would describe a formal measure gallery. We had a scorecard gallery, but it was also tied more so to our strategy maps and a few, you know, selective measures that people could see. It was not really designed to showcase the measures and get some buy-in and things of that nature. And but it has been done in some department areas. That is one area I would not skip. I think it's essential component to getting wider approval, buy-in, reducing fear of performance measurement, all the things you need to do in an organization where you're trying to create this kind of change.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you want to share, Jerry? I know I was going to ask you about, you know, for the gallery that you did have, who came and what effect did it have on their buy-in. Do you have any comments about that?
Sure, I do. In fact, we had one gallery during the award. It was a scorecard gallery during, this will be 2 weeks tomorrow. And we have five elected offices that have done strategy work but have not moved into the family, the balanced scorecard family yet. We have one office that is interested in doing it. So part of it was for their benefit. So we had our elected offices, their deputies, and critical staff come by and see that. Granted, it was more it's somewhat of a marketing approach, so we could get all the organization under it. But I did want them to see the types of measures we had. So we had several measures on large 34 by 44 poster size. You know, those ones that I had photoed or I had taken a picture of and sent you of your results and measures maps.
Yes.
And we have plotters that will print them in 34 by 44. So we had strategy maps and measures and all that stuff of 12 departments plus the county level around our hearing room that they got to see. So that was 2 weeks ago. And it's led to a couple of inquiries.
That's good. A lot of people tell me the same thing, Jerry, that when they have a measure gallery and they invite people beyond just the, you know, the immediate stakeholders in those measures, they do often get people wanting to learn more about the process and to, you know, use the same approach to come up with measures for them. I've even witnessed some people come to a gallery, run away, go and grab their colleagues, bring them back in with some chairs and sit around in a circle and start trying to do their own results map or design their own measures just from the inspiration of seeing what that team's done. So I think when you sort of made a little quip about it being a marketing exercise, I think entirely these galleries can be marketing exercises because they're such disarming and open, inviting, welcoming ways to give people a chance to see measurement in a very, very different way and strategy in a very different way as you've obviously experienced.
Oh, no question. And I do wish we had done one earlier. I will tell you there was a sense of urgency in this organization based on some things that had occurred. So the dynamics, I've often said this, if you knew what was happening around that time we kicked this thing off, then it would explain the look of some of our scorecards and why we have so many measures in them. Mm-hmm. And there was a more serious organizational change going on that somehow balanced scorecard policy governance was associated with, and it shouldn't have been. But I think there was a bit of a fear factor there that people, some departments, and I think it turned into something somewhat healthy, believe it or not, but I think it gave the impetus for departments to say, hey, we're really going to drive a stake in the ground and show how we relate to this overall county strategy. So in the end, it's not the method I would use. The outcome was pretty good, I think. But I think that fear of some changes, organizational changes that occurred about a month ahead, also had some influence on how we were moving and how quickly we were moving. But in thinking about the questions and thinking about the measure gallery, I still don't think it's too late. I think we do need help in our scorecards. We need all kinds of help and input. I'd like to consider doing one this year. You know, I still don't think it's too late for revising, for looking at them, because we're always going to be looking at our scorecards.
Absolutely, and that's what they're supposed to be for, is to be almost like an external hub or locus that encourages you to constantly review and check and say, are we still on the right track? Are we still aiming for the same thing? How much closer are we getting? Are we getting clearer about what we really want and therefore clearer about the more appropriate measures? I mean, that is a continual process.
Oh, yes.
And I'm starting to feel like I'm veering away from the questions, which happens with you, Jerry. I kind of get caught up in the conversation.
Sorry about that. I'll try to be better.
Well, it's me too. I'll get us back on track. That's my responsibility. So after you've decided pretty much what the measures are that you're going to use for your scorecard, the next pump technique that we use generally is the measure definitions technique, which takes each of those ideas for performance measures and fleshes them out into detail so that you virtually have implementation plans for each of the measures. Did you guys use the measure definition template, Jerry? And if you did, how'd it go?
Yes. Yes. We used the data definitions, I think was a term I remember, or the measure definition table.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, those departments, those scorecards that did a thorough job are not wanting now. Those who did not fill in the blanks, what's the description, what's it supposed to do, what are the thresholds, what's the rationale, or what's the formula, those kind of things,
mm-hmm.
they're suffering. So this, along with the comment you made about strategic objectives, if you do not have a commentary narrative for them, you are going to find yourself in a world of hurt down the line. A lot of rework.
Oh, indeed.
A lot of
head
scratching. So we did, and I don't have the, I certainly am not in a position, nor would I do it, most likely, to demand that anyone does anything, within a department. I guess, our boss, the same one I report to, our CEO, county manager, certainly could, but he's not inclined to do it. But what I do know is that people saw the value of it pretty early when we tested it after a couple of sessions. And we go, now, what was that measure about? We got blank looks, So for the most part, I would say a good 10 out of 12 departments took that very seriously, and they're glad they did.
That's good. Well, if you do that well, it makes the reporting of the measures so much easier because you know exactly what data to get and what to do with that data to put the measure into an appropriate graph or chart. So that's performance reporting, I know that the measure that you sent me before looks like it's come out of a very formal system for performance reporting, Jerry. So how did you go about starting to report these measures, and did you use much of the pump report design technique to do that?
Well, I mean, if you look at ours, you probably say there's a lot more than necessary in the report. So I'll answer that last question. I've tried to move them back to interpretation and response, and I alluded to your procurement department report, which I love. I think it's one of the best. I mean, it just says it like it is. I mean, there's nothing you can't get from there at that level from that report. So we've really worked hard. If I go back to that previous comment about the fear and the justification of my department, so forth and so on, about they're doing this, we have more volume than we need. I'll put it that way. In terms of reporting, this what I sent you was out of a software application called QuickScore, which is a balanced scorecard software app. It is not very expensive. It is not a data warehouse, but it serves our needs in reporting. We are required to submit 13 reports per year, 5 of them to our board, 5 of them are on our strategic goals, 8 of them are on a component of policy governance called management limitations. So the 5 goal reports are almost like semi-annual reports. When I say semi, I mean just partial annual reports are that comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to report on those at a specific period, a particular time in a business meeting per policy governance. And so we use QuickScore to house our scorecard structures, our data, and we decide which measures are going to make it to the report with some work with the objective owners and county manager, and that's how the reports get put together.
Does using QuickScore streamline the reporting process much, Jerry? Does it take some time and effort out of it? Because this is a problem I know a lot of people have, is just how ad hoc their performance reporting is and how much time they spend reformatting and drawing data out and updating graphs every month or quarter.
Yeah, well, I think all those are required. And, of course, going back to your question, I can answer it maybe in the process side. I think QuickScore is pretty intuitive. I think it serves our needs very, very well. As I mentioned, it doesn't have analytic properties. You know, you're going to spend $250,000 for a data warehouse application, then you might get some of that, but we didn't. It's probably less than $8,000, but U.S. Pardon me. But this, it works for us, and we do put data in there. But the way that it works best is if you consider what our structure is like. I handle almost all of the county level information for our scorecard. The departments have performance managers that are quick score, have access to the application, and they are responsible for continuing to update their department scorecards, which are linked into our county scorecard. So once those get done by your partners in your departments, you need to distribute that labor, it becomes a lot less. Well, the one thing that QuickScore allows you to do, too, is to set up your structure in an Excel file and to set up your data in that same file and import via that Excel file. So you can actually just import your data from Excel into QuickScore and use QuickScore just to produce your reports if you want. So I think it's a pretty friendly application, and I probably wouldn't try to do something of this scale without something like that. And I'm not an Excel expert, so I'm not sure that Excel would take you as far as QuickScore might. You know, with a speedometer and the bar graph, the data tables with the color coding, yellow, red, green, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Okay. That kind of leads me to my next question. So, Jerry, you would know how passionate I am about those XMR charts, those control charts.
Yeah, I love them too. I love them too.
They are brilliant, but applications like QuickScore, and in fact, I can't think of a single reporting or dashboarding or scorecarding type application that includes an XMR chart as one of its default chart types. I can't think of a single one that does, but I'm really passionate about them. So how does this tension lie with you, Jerry? Have you played around with XMR charts at all, even if it's just in Excel? Have you got a vision for using them? What are your thoughts around
it? Yeah, I do have a vision for using them. In fact, as soon as I read Don Wheeler's book, which I'd had for probably 15 years,
wow.
When you mentioned it, I got it from one of my dearest colleagues and mentors, Roger Reed, who developed the social style model. Some of your colleagues may know about social style, the original version. And Roger gave it to me when he retired. And, of course, he's a data guy. And so I read Understanding Variation, Don Wheeler's book, which was tremendous.
Yeah.
And it's so simple. If people can do basic math functions, but it tells you so much. And so, yes, I'm a proponent of it. QuickScore does not offer it, but I had a call from the CIO of Spider Strategies, who is the, you know, who sells or owns QuickScore.
Yes.
Just today, and he asked if there's anything else, and that's one on my queue. Can you figure out a way to get QuickScore to do XMR charts? It can't be that difficult. So, yes, I intend on looking at some key process measures, and especially in our planning department. I think there's some real good opportunity for that.
That is exciting. I really hope that they can take up that idea. Now I'm just going to turn my attention from you momentarily, Jerry, and remember that we're doing this for an audience. So everyone who's listening and you've never heard of what an XMR chart is, as Jerry recommended, Donald Wheeler's book, Understanding Variation, is an absolute gem. And it teaches XMR charts, but it teaches them, even though Donald Wheeler is a statistician, he teaches it in a management context and in language that anyone can understand, even people who don't feel particularly or at all comfortable with statistics. Now, why I love these charts is that they help you see the signals in your performance measure quickly, easily, objectively, unambiguously, and they are valid signals of change in your performance measures. You don't have to any longer react to up and down variation from month to month or week to week, however often you're measuring. They just make those signals crystal clear. So I won't elaborate any further than that. If you're curious enough, go check out Donald Wheeler's book. Well, Jerry, you've gone through aspects of every step in the pump methodology in your the last 2 years in implementing Balanced Scorecard and better performance measurement for Douglas County. Would you sum up, if you can, what the biggest impact has been so far for Douglas County in their pump experience? What's the biggest impact to date, do you think?
Well, I think the greatest impact I've seen is what I alluded to a little bit ago was the initial objective. I have seen a tremendous improvement of our strategic management capabilities of understanding what the components of strategy are, and more importantly, performance measurement. I mean, to have departments now call me and say, Jerry, we want to revise this measure. We don't like it. It's not working. This thing is not, whatever it is, we can't get the data. We've got another one we thought of. We put together a group, you know, we thought of this one. And then they work through the process, the measure design process. So now instead of me looking for little places to improve in a scorecard, I'm having actually scorecard owners come to me and tell me where they need to improve. So I think that's a pretty good indication that we're making some progress.
It's a wonderful indication that you have great buy-in, because not only do they feel willing to give time to revise a measure, they know when the measure needs to be revised because it's not helping them, and they also acknowledge that there's an approach for doing it because they're seeking your assistance. I think that's a fantastic indicator too.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that, you know, just to see how an organization changes and evolves, you see that through people, you know, and I happen to be sort of this, fortunately or not, this mecca for information, and OD people tend to be. A lot of times people will come to an organization development person before they even go to human resources, so you learn a lot. Mm. Sometimes things you don't want to know. You know. So, but, yeah, I mean, that's what I sense. And I'll go back to something that maybe was there, and I think it is from what people say, and you mentioned it. You said on the trust, when I committed to them that I would do it, you know, I will be the guy that's out there out front. I would take the lumps if we mess it up, and, you know, we'll take the credit if we do it right, you know. So I think that's a big piece of success for any organization, to have someone that will commit to it, that will truly commit to get this done.
Yeah.
The learning is the biggest commitment. So.
Yeah, tremendous. So, Jerry, is there anything you would do differently next time? Or maybe not so much next time, but because there's not really a next time, is there? There's always an ongoing continual improvement process of these sorts of things. So maybe a better question would be, what are some of the things you'll do differently as you continue doing this into the future?
Well, you know, I would just say to anyone, whoever at the senior, most senior level of your organization is either behind it or needs to be, have an audience with them first. Explain how long it's going to take generally, what the process looks like, what's going on in the culture that might affect what's happening with your performance measure design or your strategy work. You know, like I alluded to, you know, the month before we started this, you know, and it will have a seriously residual effect, but that's something that organization development people look at. People that take this on from a line position may not, you know, kind of think of it that way. But, you know, get to the place where you can set the expectation at the executive level. I think that's really important. So you're not trying to jam stuff in, you know, left and right, trying to put, as I always say, 5 pounds of sugar in a 10-pound bag. I mean, 10 pounds of sugar in a 5-pound bag. You know, you're not, you know, because you, with all the things that were going on in this organization, with some structural changes, it all got added together. And you just need to be very careful with this effort that you've got everybody lined up in the same way. Had I had to go back and do something differently, I would have had that audience. I tried, actually, to have discussions at times. But I think the board really thought to us, this is my boss, our county manager, and ours, our operational stuff. So we proceeded in that fashion. And they have been very supportive, don't get me wrong. It's just that I think being clear about how long something like this could take, what are we going to see? In particular, don't freak when you see red or yellow in the measure. That's one of them. If you go on a headhunting expedition, I warned the city of Aurora, who had asked me over a few weeks ago to talk to them, I said, if your culture is one that goes headhunting for measure data when it's not showing up like you expect, then I wouldn't even embark on this. That's truly what I believe. It, you know, if your culture is not one that is going to understand when something goes red or yellow and you're going to go headhunting, then you are in the wrong game.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that cultural...
That's a big one to me.
The cultural readiness, absolutely, I'd agree with that too. In cases like that, where the culture's not ready yet, I often recommend for people who are still desperate to want to get better performance measures is to really choose the right little place to start. And you don't necessarily aim for a top-down approach there. You just pick a team that really is ready and let them become a little catalyst or the pebble that you throw into the pond to cause the ripples. I mean, let them be just that small little catalyst for change through what they do and what they role model to others.
Absolutely. In fact, they're the I like early adopters, you know, and I'll take them, and that's one of the sort of methodologies I proceeded with. I'll take the early adopters and gain some momentum. And if I could, I'll underscore one more thing from that last question. That is, learn each of the components. Take time to learn the parts thoroughly and be disciplined about following the steps. Once you've covered your executive level cultural piece, follow the process as disciplined as you can. Even though we didn't do certain things, we were quite disciplined in our approach, you know, for the most part. We couldn't do it all, but we did have a fair amount of it, and I think that helped us.
That's fantastic to hear. It's advice that was given to me a long time ago as well, is, you know, do what the model says, because the model says that for a reason. It wasn't just somebody's idea on a Sunday afternoon. It's actually tried and tested out for years and years of implementation in lots of different organizations. The model is what it is for a reason, so follow it. And then later you can fine-tune it and adapt it. So great.
That's right. And maybe that Sunday afternoon after six beers, you know. So, so it's not that.
So
it is,
Jerry,
a process that works.
Yes, that's right. So, Jerry, what is next for you and your role? What have you got on your own personal schedule coming up in relation to measurement and improvement?
Well, I didn't win the Mega Millions, so I guess I'll keep working. And we had, you know, a big one here a couple of weeks ago in the U.S. That was a joke, though. You know, really, my work, I'll tell you what I will do internally and then personally, professionally. Just start, you know, helping refine our scorecards to really get it to to measure what matters. I mean, to coin your phrase, and which I have written down here in my answer, and to learn more from you about performance measurement, to continue to develop that particular component for me professionally. So I feel like, you know, one day I'll go, yeah, you know, Stacy's taught me everything she knew. You know, I'm still not there yet, but I'll get there one day. But yeah, I mean, it really is that's a personal mission for me, is to really understand performance measurement, because it's so critical to everything else. I had a comment with someone this morning that I said, you know, now that I've, in anticipation of this call, I said, you know, I've had gained a huge appreciation for what performance measurement really is and the value of it. And it really is the center of everything when you start looking at reporting and how you make changes in organizations. So I could see why a KPI report would work really well. I do like the strategic objective format of balanced scorecards, just primarily due to brevity, to tell you the truth. You know, mm-hmm. It helps people focus a little bit, so it's mm-hmm. a different purpose, you know. But I'd say that's what I really want to do. I really want to spend time learning performance measurement, unless I win the lottery.
Yeah, and then you can let somebody else do it.
Yeah, I don't know what I'll do. I'll call you, though. I'll make them visit you if I win the lottery.
Yeah, it'd be a great problem to have, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'll figure that out later. Take my year off. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I hope to do.
Great. Jerry, any final words of advice that you would like to share with pump users and also others as well, from your own experience and learning?
Sure. Take your courses and listen to your advice. That's the first thing I wrote down. I mean, because you were the one that I went, oh, wow, okay, this is what it's about. Okay, now I'm getting it. And a guy like, you know, for 30, 35 years, I've dealt with constructs and models most of my career. So when I see one, then I go, I can kind of see it and go, that has merit. And so I would, you know, those that are considering pump or, you know, are either well-versed or in the process, take your advice, you know, have some conversations, email exchanges with you. The other is have an internal champion who is or can become very well-versed in the components of your strategy work and your performance measure design. you know, I'd say you want to have that person become your internal sort of expert go-to person who can, but who can also expand the knowledge internally. That's the model we did. And when Larry Halbach from the Institute was here a couple weeks ago to present the award, one of the comments that really hadn't even dawned on me that he made, he said the most astounding thing, the most unique thing about Douglas County is we did it on our own. I called it sweat equity. And so I think you have someone from the outside like you helping a person like me become better versed in performance measurement is a great model. It works pretty well. And make sure executive leadership's not on a headhunting expedition when they see red or yellow measures. You know, how that culture deals with this will dictate, you know, your success, I think, and particularly for the long haul. And it does require two P's outside of black eyed and green, which are my favorite. Patience and perseverance. It really requires both of those.
Lovely. They really are wise words, Jerry. I so appreciate your sharing your story and sharing Douglas County's story with us. And congratulations to you. And if anyone else from Douglas County is listening to this, congratulations to you as well for your involvement in being recognized so well by the Balanced Scorecard Institute. With their award for excellence.
Thank you. We were extremely flattered. I mean, for a public sector organization to be recognized for its strategy work is unique anyway. And for us, and I guess the other Mecklenburg County, which is my home state, North Carolina, the only two public sector organizations so far that have received it over the years. So we were very, very honored and flattered, knowing that we don't have a perfect system, but we're working to make it better.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think you absolutely deserve the award. Everyone, thank you so much for listening and joining Jerry and I today. I hope you picked up at least a couple of tips to boost your own performance measurement success, particularly, of course, to get that really great alignment between what you measure and what your strategy is. I know that it's very easy to learn from Jerry, the humility and passion and incredible experience and knowledge that he has is very evident in the way he's spoken about this. So, Jerry, just one more time, thank you so much for taking the time to share this with us.
It's my pleasure. Absolutely. I love getting a chance to speak with you. Our time difference precludes that a fair amount.
I know. But we do our best. Thanks again, Jerry, and thank you, everyone else, for joining in.
No doubt you picked up on how passionate, enthusiastic Jerry is about his work. I've known Jerry for probably a couple of years now, and I've never seen that enthusiasm wane, not in the slightest. If you're going to successfully transform your organization or your company with a strong strategy and meaningful measures, then enthusiasm is something you cannot be without. I reckon a very vivid vision of what success looks like is sure going to help you stay enthused, and so will small wins along the way. So remember to celebrate your successes and celebrate your failures too. Those failures mean you learned something. Remember, you can download this podcast and also a ton of practical articles at measureupblog.com. You can also subscribe to this podcast at iTunes. Just search for Measure Up. And if you're a regular listener, I'd love for you to give the show a ranking and a comment at iTunes. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.